Bandwidth for this podcast is provided by CacheFly at cachefly.com. This is the iPhone Alley Podcast, episode 53 for September 1st, 2009, Dementia Cast. This episode is sponsored by Smile on My Mac at smileonmymac.com. Okay, it is time for the iPhone Alley Podcast. I'm Michael Johnston, and this is the show where we discuss all things iPhone, the iPod Touch, the App Store, iTunes, iPod, apps, all that fun stuff. Tonight with me, I have Mr. Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, as always, it's fantastic to be here. What show is this again?
This is the one about the iPhone.
Oh, yeah, fine. I'm still happy to be here.
Great. And I think Adam Christensen knows which podcast this is, from the MacCast. Hello. How are you?
Hello. Yeah, I think I know where I am most of the time.
Most of the time. Hasn't gotten to that age yet.
No.
Where dementia sets in. Okay. Anyway.
Hey, wait, what podcast is this again?
Are we going to cut... I think we're going to cut all this out. So we're going to talk about the iPhone now, right?
You cut nothing out.
That's true. I'm too lazy
sure,
to cut
what's
anything
that?
Out. The iPhone, yeah.
You know the new Zune HD is coming.
It's the Dementia Podcast, clearly. Dementia Cast. Can we do Dementia Cast?
I don't see why not. We may very well be doing that right now.
Can we do Dementia Cast? Okay, that's enough. I beat that to death. Okay, so let's talk about Quick. They updated their application to allow uploading.
Streaming video?
No. It's not the right
Quick.
They updated it to allow Edge and 3G uploading. So not streaming, but uploading.
And how did we not talk about that already?
Let's put it
no,
out
Michael,
there that
we
one
can't.
Of our... Okay, I know. But one of our listeners, chime in and let us know. Unless one of you guys know, what is the big difference between streaming the video to Quick servers and just uploading it later?
Well, because one is streaming and the other one is uploading later.
What? No, I mean the big deal is the live interact. I mean you get a chat going, you get a live broadcast going with your iPhone, so it's kind of like in the moment you can.
No. I definitely understand the benefits
okay,
of Quick.
Sorry.
I'm saying
I misunderstood.
I'm saying from AT&T's perspective, why would they care?
I thought you were asking from the user's side.
No, on the user's side, it makes a lot of sense to have it stream, yeah.
I thought you got it. I thought you were with it, Michael, but come on. No, from AT&T's side, it's their network.
Well, there's still, I mean, you can upload over 3G. How is that different from streaming?
How is streaming? How is it different? Okay, so just uploading over 3G versus... Streaming the video.
The same video, yeah.
I have a feeling that they know how Quick users are and know that if Quick on the iPhone is upload only, no one's going to use it, right? They allow upload from YouTube. I've used it a couple times now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, why YouTube so what's the difference? If it's upload from Quick or upload, you know, directly to YouTube from the iPhone video thing, they've obviously already okayed that. I think with streaming, you've got, you know, X number of, I don't know how it works. I guess it streams one feed to Quick servers and then Quick handles the rest.
Yeah.
Is that the deal? So you kind of got one. I think they're just worried that, you know, Quick users will be doing, people will be doing it all the time. So whereas when it's upload, it's kind of a hassle. You know, it's like, I got to record the video and then I'm going to upload it, you know, whatever.
So you feel like AT&T.
As opposed to flipping on the phone and it's, you know, immediately streaming out data, I think you get a lot of people doing that, and it's just using a lot more data on the network all at once.
So it's
I think it's
designed. Yeah. So it's designed to
discourage users.
Yeah. There we go. Thank you. It's a discouragement, is what it is.
That's nice.
Yeah. I mean, I would totally use Quick for like the quick, you know, no pun intended. Sort of one-off, hey, check this out, everybody. This is really cool in terms of building a community. I think, you know, I think they understand that people who are into social networking and into podcasting and the kind of stuff that we do, want that immediacy, want that instant, you know, I'm broadcasting right now, flip a switch, I'm broadcasting, versus for me, the moment passes. It's like a fleeting moment. So it's sort of like, well, I can capture it and upload it 5 minutes from now, but it's done already.
Here's what I'm thinking, Adam. I wonder if Quik has even submitted a streaming version of their application to the App Store. I wonder if it's simply that Apple still does not have a public way, a public API for directly sending that video as it comes in from the camera.
Is probably more likely the case. I'm with you there. I don't think Quik has even submitted a streaming version.
I don't think AT&T is really, you know, aware of it on the iPhone potentially.
I see where you're going now.
Just be an API thing. They're probably using, you know, private APIs still, or, you know, nasty things that Apple doesn't want them to use. But it works pretty well. You know, the real Quik.
The real thing that you have and no one else can have.
Kevin Rose has it, I think.
Okay, yeah, so you and Kevin.
Yeah, me and Kevin. So Chipotle has their app back in the App Store. Remember when that came out last year or so? You know, right when the App Store.
And then they broke the internet or something with it.
I think everybody got on there and started ordering burritos.
Chipotle.
Yep. And then broke the internet. I don't know. But it's back, and I think it's really cool. You know, I go to the Chipotle every, you know, once in a while, and I enjoy a burrito. And it's fun to do it on my phone. You know?
Well,
have they added the Dunkin' Donuts, like, I'm on a Chipotle run feature?
What is that? Where you Twitter about...
No, you know, the Dunkin' Donuts app, you can alert all your friends that you're going to Dunkin' Donuts.
You
can say, get me a coffee, Michael, because I know you're going to go there. Bring it back to the office.
Oh, that's cool.
You didn't know that?
No. That's
feature. That was the big deal on the Dunkin' Donuts app social networking feature. Yeah, where you can I haven't tried it myself.
Does it have push then? So push notification or something? Like, hey, I'm out on a run. What do you want? And
I think possibly. Yeah. I haven't used the app. I just heard, you know. Through the grapevine about it. That's what everybody was all excited about.
No, I hadn't. I don't think that's they have that in the Chipotle app. The only thing I don't like is you can't say, you know, give me extra, you know, whatever. So I've never actually used it because I like extra beans. And there's that. So let's move on.
I'm just going to leave that on the table. Yeah, yeah.
Extra beans. Yeah. Okay. So Facebook updated their application to a version 3.0, and I must say, it's a really nice update. I feel like the interface is much nicer now.
It's actually usable for the first time.
Yeah, they have this.
3.0.
It's a really interesting sort of grid layout that they have. So you have, you know, a 3x3. You click, you know, inbox, events, or whatever. By the way, they have events now finally on there, which is the only reason I use Facebook. So you can check out your events, RSVP. You still can't comment on, you know, event walls. At least I haven't seen that. But it's a really nice, you can check out, you know, requests and see your friends, and you can see from your friends list, you can actually see, you know, who actually has their phone number put in to Facebook, so you can call them right from there, which is nice.
Which, in my opinion, is a really good reason not to put your phone number in your Facebook profile.
Ah, but you put your Google Voice number.
I put my real phone number.
Oh, that, you know, that's really smart. That's a great place for my Google Voice number.
This
and
is true.
Of course, I should set up Google Voice so that everyone goes into voicemail all the time.
Especially me.
Well, except for your whitelist, yeah. Not how you use Google Voice? I mean, that's totally what I do. I have my whitelist and I have everybody else.
I think I've given my Google Voice number to like two people. And that's it. And no one's ever called the number. I haven't even called it to hear what happens. Yeah, I'm using the hell out of Google Voice.
I don't know. I like it.
What do we talking about? It's a nice update.
Yeah, the Facebook anyway.
I hadn't had opportunity to play with it too much. I mean, it's almost like with the grid layout, it's like having an app within an app to some degree.
Yeah.
Well, it certainly is a lot easier to navigate.
Yeah, and the notifications are always at the bottom. You just hit the little thingy and it slides up your notifications. It's cool. Check it out. It's free, obviously. And if you, you know, have the app, then you've probably already gotten the update. So, let's move on. Exploding iPhones, yeah? Second iPhone explodes in France. A security guard was injured by the flying glass.
Great fun at parties.
Well, there's been up to supposedly 8 or 9 instances in France. And somebody from Apple, according to, I was listening to actually macOS Ken just on the way home. And in the latest episode, he was saying that someone from Apple officially met with the Minister of Consumer Affairs or something in France. And basically Apple said, hey, it's not our fault.
Of course they did.
According to, and I wish I could remember Ken's source, but on the podcast he was saying that Apple said in all of the units they received from consumers who had complained about the issue that they were seeing signs of some sort of external pressure on the glass, although they don't specifically say what that was. Like, you know, was it left in someone's back pocket and they had been sitting on it, or was it actually struck with, you know, an object? Or they don't go into specifics, and they also don't explain how they would know that it was an external force versus something from the inside. Although I have to say, most of the reports that I have been reading about, and there was a new one in, was it Denmark or Holland or something like that, where they described it as imploding.
Ooh.
Like the glass breaks space inward. Yeah.
Like science fiction.
Yeah, like which,
like it's in a vacuum.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, some weird thing like that. So I don't know. So that would tend to support Apple's theory that it's, you know, something from the outside, because you'd think if it was a battery explosion that would be pushing outward.
Did you guys see the video of the this is a tangent, but did you guys see the video of the guy who shot his iPhone? Because he was done with all of Apple's crap.
Boy, he showed Apple.
He made a video, put it on YouTube.
Yeah, he paid them, you know,
about
$200 plus a 2-year contract that he can't get out of, and then killed his device. That's great.
That's awesome.
Makes for some good YouTubing. You know,
if it wasn't for people like that, that simply did not have enough sense to not shoot their iPhone, there'd be nothing to watch on YouTube.
That's true. Well, there's a hamster on the piano. But anyway, go ahead.
Have we honestly talked about that on? I don't think we've talked about that on this podcast. I've been listening to a lot of other podcasts to talk about. I mean, okay, yeah, Apple does some things that are annoying, and we can't have apps like Google Voice.
Oh,
but
yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, how bad really is it? I mean, like, how bad really is AT&T? How bad is, because there's all these people now revolting and saying, oh, we're not gonna buy Apple's crap because, you know.
Is Gruber on that now?
Who's better, I guess, is my question. You know, is Google that much better? Is their app store and their experience and their devices? Or are we just saying, well, just because Apple does it better, that can't make it okay.
Well, okay.
And so we're rebelling for that reason.
I actually watched some like showdown videos from CNET and whatever last night. But I think that even though the Prius is a fantastic phone, it doesn't have, you know, the apps available for it that the iPhone obviously does. And, you know, of course, it says the same thing for, you know, the Google phone, the Android stuff. But, you know, if you want to get Uber customized and, you know, flash your ROM every 2 weeks. And, you know, I'm just talking out of my butt. But, you know, if you want to be able to customize stuff and, you know, run the terminal on your phone, then yeah, you might want to think about getting an Android, unless you're, you know, all about the Unix and OS X, then, you know, jailbreak your iPhone.
Right. But I mean, you know, I complain about the battery life on my 3GS, right? You know what? Guess what? It lasts me a whole day.
I think it lasts longer than a lot of other,
right.
You know, big
and
smartphones.
You know, I can upgrade my operating system past version 1.5, and yeah, yeah, I complain that I can't get the quick streaming app, but I've got access to how many tens of other, you know, tens of thousands of other applications that I wouldn't on any other device. So, you know, it's, it seems.
And you have an
like
interface that's actually usable.
Hairs and, I'm sorry.
You also have an interface that's actually usable.
And I have, yeah, I have an interface that's usable. I have an experience that I enjoy when I pick up the device and I'm not cursing at the thing, you know, all the time. So, you know, it just seems like we're really getting nitpicky at the point where I'm not going to use it because they blocked Google Voice.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people out there that really want to have a cause. And
well, they've got to find something wrong with it. And yeah, right. We're not discounting the fact. It's absolutely an issue. And we feel strongly about a lot of these things, of course. You know, you've heard that on, you know, on the podcast. But at the same time, it's very nitpicky. And like, come on, it's just Google Voice. How many people actually use that? It's a fantastic service.
Based on my usage, I'd say 3 people.
No, I mean, I think it's really important, and I'm really annoyed, and I want
absolutely,
it on there,
yes.
and all these other things. I mean, but...
But is it bad enough to shoot your phone 5 times with a revolver?
Exactly. Or is it bad enough to say, I'm not going to pay Apple any money? And I'm certainly not saying the iPhone is the be-all, end-all, and I know there's other phones out there, and you have other choices, which is great. Fine. Go to another device. But to be so vocal and so adamant about, oh, this is so horrible, so... You know, this is so bad, I'm going to, you know, shoot a video. I guess, I don't know. It's entertaining
at the same time.
At the same time.
Okay, we're just picking on the one guy. But at the same time, you know, there does need to be that, you know, vocal minority group that, you know, causes a lot of ruckus. Because, you know, that's one factor in what changes things, you know, with the iPhone. Obviously, competition does that. But we also need those vocal people. So...
I'm not trying to discount it. I'm just trying to pull
us
all back.
That's the only thing I'm trying to
say. Like,
is,
this is great, and I'm glad these people are doing it. But at the end of the day, when we really get down to it, is it really as bad as these people are making it out to
be? I still love my iPhone, even though I can't run Google Voice on there.
You know, I love my iPhone. I don't have trouble with AT&T. Now, last week I was having weird signal issues, but it turns out AT&T was taking a bunch of towers down in the Denver area for upgrades.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. So, all right. So we had to spend a few days with weird signal issues where 3G just wasn't working right.
Did they text you and let you know that? Or did you call them?
How did I find out? Oh, I read an article.
Oh, okay. Because I know they do a lot of, like in my area, when they say, we've just added some new towers or whatever through a text message.
Now, I always get the, we just added new towers or we upgraded towers text messages. But I have not gotten any text messages saying, hey, we're going to screw up your service reception for like 3 days.
Hopefully, they just kind of do it in a way that, you know, hopefully nobody notices.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm going to speculate that there's a substantial number of people that would have no clue that there were these minor weird service disruptions happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm pissed now. AT&T never texts me upgrades.
I'll give them a call for you. Mm-hmm.
All right. So we want to talk about who was it? Munster? Gene Munster? Gene Munster was talking about how he believes the iPhone will have multiple carriers in the U.S.
Oh, newsflash.
By 2010.
Yeah, he's saying summer 2010.
Yeah. Do we, you know, Gene Munster, he says a lot of things.
It seems obvious to me. I've been telling, I have a bunch of friends who are like, when is Apple going to bring the iPhone to Verizon?
Is this when?
And I'm like, I've been telling them sometime in 2010. I said probably, you know, summer to fall time frame.
Is this just because of the 5-year contract? Or
I think what we kind of know about the contracts. Again, this is all guessing, and I also caveat that I said this is purely speculation, guesswork on my point. But it just seems. And I think I've mentioned this on the show before. When you look at the business rationale, right? Apple's a company; they're out there to make money. the minute they can get out of the exclusivity, they don't need, they needed AT&T back in the day. You know, they needed their carrier partners when they were launching this thing. The iPhone's been a huge success. It, you know, by its own right, people just want the device. And there's a certain percentage of people, Apple has saturated all the people that are, I think, willing to, for $99, $199, whatever price, move over to AT&T. And you're left with the people that are like, I am never going to another carrier, no matter how good the phone or the device is. And Apple, that's Apple's next market. I mean, that's the market they have to reach now in the U.S. And I'm assuming other countries as well. But, you know, so it just seems obvious to me that that's what they have to do if they want to continue to gain share for the iPhone. They have to put it on other carriers.
So do you think the biggest driving force would be Verizon's 4G network then? I mean, we talked about this.
Yeah, but the 4G network's not going to be totally rolled out till something like 2013. I mean, they're starting it, and they're supposed to have a decent rollout in major cities by the end of 2011. So I don't think it has anything to do with the 4G. I think it purely has everything to do with Apple needs to go where the customers are, and the customers are on other networks, and they're not switching. And if they haven't switched by summer 2010, then they're not, you know, it's not the hardware that's going to lure them over. It's not the app store that's going to lure them over. It's, you know what, we only like this carrier, and until you have your device on this carrier, we're not buying it.
Do you think it's, you know, Apple's going to make a CDMA phone?
Possibly. I mean, I didn't think they would, but I mean, it, in talking to people who know about phones and these chips and stuff like that, it really shouldn't be that difficult for them.
Is it pretty trivial?
It's, you know, my understanding, it really is not that difficult.
Someone was telling me, and I feel bad having to say, I cannot remember who it was or where I was when I was having this discussion, but someone was telling me that the whole CMDA thing isn't as big of an issue as a lot of people think, because a lot of the protocols that we have in CMDA, and then what is it, GSM, that we're using for AT&T, It's almost the exact same thing. Now, not being a cell phone tech engineer guy, I can't elaborate on it any more than that, and I'm certain we have listeners that can. But
the only thing I know is that it actually is, I don't know, not a pure CDMA spec, but you know, there's two versions of CDMA, and you know, the one the iPhone is using is a flavor of CDMA. I can't remember. It's like there's CDMA 2000, and then there's CDMA something else. And I covered this on my show like a year ago, it seems like now. Somebody pointed this out to me. And, you know, one is Qualcomm, and one is NTT Docomo, and the one the iPhone uses is NTT Docomo, and it's GSM-based. And yeah, they're not compatible technologies, but at some point, I guess Qualcomm had figured out a way to do a single chipset or some sort of technology that was compatible on all of the networks. It just never took off. So it's doable. It just never happened.
Don't the Nextel phones have SIM cards in there?
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure.
I don't think they do. Or actually, I think the Nextel SIM cards are sealed inside.
No, I've definitely seen SIM cards in those that you can pull out, but they're probably a different. Hmm. I think it's just a SIM card for the sake of, you know, being able to swap that out, and not because it's a GSM thing.
Okay.
Anyway, should we move on?
Oh, sorry. So yeah, here's the deal. So CDMA 2000 is the Qualcomm technology. WCDMA is the technology that runs on the current gen iPhones that GSM based.
Okay.
Yeah. And Qualcomm at some point had figured out a way to get CDMA 2000 and WCDMA working on the same device. And it just never went anywhere, because the world had basically standardized on the WCDMA 3G technology, mm-hmm. the UMTS. So.
Gotcha.
Oh, this would be a great opportunity for Apple to snatch up some of that technology.
Possibly, yeah. I don't know how it all worked, but I mean, they're going to go to LTE. I don't think Verizon's going to be ready in mid 2010, but I think the timing, Apple's seeing the writing on the wall, again, from a business standpoint, that the timing is going to say that's when the next gen iPhone's going to come out, right? If they stick on their current schedule, we're going to have a new device every year. And so that would be the big announcement. It's like, here's the new phones, and we're opening up the carrier networks in the States. I mean, how huge would that event be? It'd be massive.
That'd be really big.
Yeah.
You know, and then if they did it as more than just one additional carrier, but, you know, like maybe it, they say, okay, so here's Verizon and T-Mobile and Sprint. Have at it. And I think the iPhone would then
dominate.
Oh yeah, it'd have a market share like what was Munster saying? In France, the iPhone has 40% of its market, as opposed to the United States, where it's like 15%.
Yeah, it would be game over. And I mean, if that's what Apple wants to do, and if that's their goal, then that's what they need to do. And I'm assuming that's their goal. I'm assuming at the end of the day, they're about making money for their shareholders and for themselves.
That would stand to reason.
Yeah, but how lame would we feel if we, you know, had iPhones just like everybody else? We want to feel superior.
We already do. Is that not the case in your area? In California, I'll have to tell you, I mean, every other person has an iPhone. I mean, it's over. Ever since the 3GS and the drop in price to $99, it's like...
Well, that's the price you pay to live in California. I live in, you know, Podunk, USA, whatever. And, you know...
Some and that's exactly why they're going to go carrier agnostic in 2010.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, I mean, fine. Then go get a Pri, and you can be there with the elite people.
I want to be an Apple elitist.
No, the elite phone in 2010 will be the Google phone, I'm sure.
Okay, I'll get one of those.
There you go.
Okay,
so it's a good device. I mean, the next gen ones, what I'm hearing, the MyTouch or whatever, is supposed to be fairly decent.
I'd like to see one of those, because the first gen Google phones,
yeah, not so great.
No, I mean, they're okay, but not something that I would want to roll out to try and compete with what Apple's doing.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's going to get competitive, and again, that just further proves what I think Munster is pointing to, that, you know, Apple's going to have to, if they want to stay in the game and they want to continue to gain market share, they're going to have to open it up some way, because they're going to be competing with these second, third gen touch phones from other carriers, you know, from other companies, Palm and Google and everybody else. So,
you know, I'm okay with that. Share?
Yeah, I'm okay with that too. I think it's great. But I just getting back to the Munster story, my point is it just seems obvious to me. So I don't see it as any huge revelation. But it was all over the Twitter today.
It was. The Twitter was all full of that.
There were a Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Okay, so let's move on to Apple's announcement of an event. But first, before we do that, see how I do the tease thing? We're going to talk about our sponsor, Smile on My Mac. They've finally done it. Text Expander on the iPhone. We've been waiting for this for quite some time. Honestly, when I found out about Text Expander, maybe earlier this year, at some point when I did find out about Text Expander, it just kind of changed the way I work on my Mac every day. And I was just really excited.
You only found out about Text Expander this year?
I think I knew about it and I just hadn't used it.
Okay, so you just
usually the way it goes.
It.
Yeah,
I didn't understand it. Yeah, so
once you get it, it's like so a revelation. Good. It's one of those technologies that's just like, how did I live without this?
Yeah, so Text Expander, for people who don't know, is a service that runs on your Mac, and it allows you to predefine shortcuts for you to type out. So, you know, for example, when I create the podcast on iPhone Alley, I have a lot of, you know, pre-done, you know, like here's, you know, the link to Adam's Twitter page, and, you know, here are the, you know, the HTML for bullet points on, you know, what we talked about on the show, and, you know, that kind of stuff that is very repetitive. All I do is I go into my, you know, into the CMS, I type -podcast, and it just spits out tons and tons of text without me having to, you know, either save that in a file and copy paste that or whatever, or, you know, stuff like, you know, because I get some ad hoc iPhone apps, I'll, you know, have dash UDID and it'll spit that out. And so I don't have to remember that or go find it or anything like that. It's just, it's very, very nice. And you can even, you know, I found out recently that you can, you know, the tiny URL stuff, especially with Twitter, you can't necessarily type that in Bitly. Yeah, or, you know, they have stuff pre-built in there, or you can do, you know, whatever you want. You know, I have just, you know, dash shorten, and it'll take the whatever link is in your clipboard and replace it with a tiny URL. Mm-hmm. Or a Bitly or whatever.
You know what I just found out about? Gene just told me about their accented words list.
I checked that out too. Yeah, not
because I had written doppelganger in a post, and she's like, you know, if you had that snippet, it would have put the umlaut in there for you. And I'm like, really?
Okay,
so you download that cool. And you load it in there, and
what's the shortcut for cafe, and
it automatically puts the accented e on there. It's nice.
Do you have to do that? That's just fracking cool. What's the shortcut for that?
You have to download the. So they have preloaded snippets. So if you go into the system preference pane,
cafe in the apostrophe. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it just happens automatically.
Or if you type in like cliche,
download the snippet thing. Yeah, because it does like a replace on common words.
Oh, I'm gonna look so fancy.
Yes, you are.
Do you want to type crepe?
Exactly. Type crepe and it automatically accents it for you.
Or debutante.
Yeah, so you click the little plus in the thing and you do. They have add predefined groups. That
yeah, they have predefined
on their
groups,
site
just, both on the phone and on the Mac too. Okay, so let's talk about
accented words.
Text Expander on the iPhone. So Text Expander Touch. It is $199 until September 9th. And it's an application, obviously, that runs on your iPhone. It doesn't work in the background, unfortunately, because of, you know, the way the iPhone is set up. But it allows you to
sync.
Another
thing we hate, right?
Yes. You can quickly compose. You can do the same exact thing on your iPhone that you could on your Mac. So you can make as many, little workspaces. They call them notes. You can make as many little workspaces as you want to type out, you know, all of your shortcuts and type out what you want. So maybe you want to compose an email, for example, to someone, and you have some Text Expander shortcuts that you want. So you know you want to compose that email in Text Expander. So you hop into Text Expander and type out your email. And when you're ready, you hit the little button and it says send to mail, and it shoots all that text right over to a compose sheet in mail. And it also has support for popular Twitter clients such as Tweety and Twitterific, Twitter Later, Twitter Phone. And so you can send your, you know, I don't think the shorten trick works. I don't think scripts actually work out on the iPhone.
I don't think they do either.
I think it just prints out script. But you can do all your other stuff, you know, and send it off to your Twitter client of choice. You can also, if you don't have an app that supports, you know, the Text Expander, you can just say copy all text and then go back to the app, throw that in there, and boom, there's all your stuff. So it works really, it's really the best way you can do it.
And if you have Text Expander desktop, what I liked about it was over Wi-Fi, it'll sync over all your existing shortcuts and snippets. And, so you don't have to re-enter all that stuff, which was awesome.
That's the big deal here.
And now I haven't tried this yet, but I understand you can actually send snippets from one iPhone to another on a local network.
Okay.
Ooh.
Ooh. Interesting.
So we'll have to try that when we're all in the same place.
Yeah.
Macworld.
Macworld.
Text Expander Touch Party.
Boom.
That's, you know what? I'm in. Wait.
So what else are we talking? Oh, yeah, because you can sync to your Mac over Wi-Fi. You can save the notes. You can have a whole bunch of them, predefined groups. Like we said before, it comes with, accented words, symbols. So, like, if you want to quickly type out, like, the copyright symbol or, you know, the little command symbol on your Mac. See, I just figured out about the symbols thing. But, you know, you can, I think it's, like, Option Shift K for the Apple sign, but you can also do all those other cool ones like the Option Key or, you know, Command, you know, just with like, you know, special little shortcuts. And you can also do like HTML and CSS, all that stuff. And the cool thing, here's what really got me when I was reading the release when it came out. They've also got an SDK plan for developers. So right now, as it is, you have to go to the Text Expander app to have access to your shortcuts. But they have the Text Expander engine. They're getting this ready for the SDK. So any developer that wants to add the core of Text Expander into their app for access to all of your shortcuts and snippets, the developer can add that. So like if, you know, 8-bits nice. Decides to add that to Tweety, then you have full access to all of your shortcuts right from Tweety. And it'll spit all that stuff out, you know, synced up to your Text Expander. It sounds awesome. I can't wait for developers to start, you know, adding that in.
You know what's scary about all this? I was a fanboy before they were sponsors, so.
No, me too. I kept bugging Gene about, you know, allowing me to talk
about
them.
They're just awesome over there. All of their stuff is rad.
Yeah. So.
Hey, speaking of Gene, she is going to be at the Colorado Mac User Group. I think it's actually next week. Whatever the second Thursday in September is. She's going to be at the Colorado Mac User Group talking about Text Expander Touch. And cool. I'm assuming a bunch of other Smile on My Mac apps.
Awesome.
So if you want to meet her in person.
She's the, I don't know what her official title is over there.
She's Goddess of Wisdom and and All Things Smile.
Yes.
I think that's what her title is.
Can I get a...
If not, it is now.
I want a Smile on My Mac mug, by the way.
I love my Smile on My Mac mug.
I just want one. Adam, do you have one?
Yes, absolutely, right. Yes.
Drinks taste better in a Smile on My Mac mug.
Gene, hook me up. All right, so let's end this commercial and move on.
We could go on all day. Like I said, could.
It's fun to do
as a fan way before they were a sponsor. They make great stuff.
It's fun to talk honestly. About products, you yeah. know, sponsors that, you know, for products that you really, truly enjoy. So, it costs $199 until September 9th. Text Expander for your Mac is also 50% off until September 9th as well to celebrate Text Expander Touch. Syncs with your iPhone. Normally $30, it's $15. And we will have a link in the show notes, or you can just, you know, type Text Expander in iTunes. And there it is.
It'll change your life.
It's awesome.
It will change your life.
Text Expander Touch from Smile on My Mac. And with that, let's talk about the September 9th, right? September 9th iPod event?
Right.
Yes, I'm confused now. I really am confused.
Why?
Well, because everybody's like you know, it's all about the Beatles. The Beatles, the Beatles, the Beatles, 9909, Beatles Rock Band, 9909, Beatles Anthology, 9909, Beatles on iTunes. And then they send out the invite, and it's like a big old Rolling Stones record.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are they just like trying to throw us all off the trail? Like, oh, we're going to really mess with their heads. Or is it not about the Beatles?
Yeah. My guess is that it's not about the Beatles.
It's never going to be about the Beatles.
And yeah. Okay. So for people that don't
you're
know,
right, but that saddens me deeply.
So for everyone that doesn't know, on September 9th, the digitally remastered box sets of the Beatles' entire library gets released. Plus Beatles Rock Band gets released. And so, of course, everyone's assuming that's also the same day that Apple will announce that the Beatles are coming to iTunes.
Does anybody care about that anymore?
Don't.
Yes, a lot of people care about that.
I love the Beatles. I have a huge Beatles poster to my right. But does it really matter anymore?
I care because it's just something that should have happened like 5 years ago.
I completely agree on that point.
it's important from that level.
Yeah, it's important that this happens because this is a substantial collection of music that's had a major impact on all the music genres that followed. And not having that available in the current media formats.
Well, and on the store that 70%, you know, almost 70% of the people use.
right.
and buy music from.
Right. And, you know, and there's a lot of people that are going to say all the Beatles fans already bought all the CDs.
Yeah.
Well, sure. And not because there's new fans.
It's a new buying opportunity.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, what about all the kids and the people who haven't even had exposure to it? And iTunes is their media buying, you know, location of choice.
Okay, sure.
And the iPod is in right. the and the iPhone and the iPod Touch are their media listening platform of choice.
I think we should talk about what the invite looks like.
Yeah, what up with that?
Because it's a big change. Because if you look at last year's iPod event, you know, invitation, it had someone listening to an iPod Classic, and you see the little the screen as, you know, obviously a different part of the white brick. And you see that the headphone jack is on the top. Now, if you look at this year's, there's no discernible screen area. There's just, you know, a white brick with the headphone jack coming out of the bottom.
Much like an iPod Touch.
Much like an iPod Touch. Although there's obviously a discernible, you know, screen to that that they could have added. So it almost makes me think that there's something interesting going to happen.
I was more thinking, isn't it time to get rid of the white silhouette thing?
No. I love that.
It is iconic. So yeah. when you see it, you know what that means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as long as they don't...
We don't have white... It made sense to me when we had white iPods, but we don't have white iPods. It doesn't make any sense to me anymore. Am I the only one?
Well, it makes sense when you look at it based on what the symbology is, meaning
sure.
when you see the white, that kind of inverted silhouette thing, the white iPod, even though in this case it doesn't match a current iPod model, you know that means iPod.
Yeah, anybody and their grandma knows that.
True.
So in that sense, it makes sense to keep that white shape. Or question, all white shape.
Question. Does the current iPod Touch come with the crazy headphones with the built-in volume and play pause thingy? It's
my understanding, yes, but I don't own one, so I can't say.
I'd
sure.
have to go digging through my box because I never pull the Apple earbuds out of the box. I don't know.
What does that say right there?
Yeah, no, it does not. I'm looking at the tech specs now. Just comes with earphones.
See? Even more reason to not care.
Boo. So, okay. I mean, it's obviously an iPod. Could just be an iPod Touch. So, we're getting to the
I think it's the whole lineup if we're going down that route.
Yeah, I think we're going to see updates across the board for all the iPods.
Even like the Nano and the...
Well, the weird one that's the rumor right now to me is the iPod Classic. I'm a little confused on it.
Dropping the iPod Classic or just moving the iPod Classic
The camera. That's what you think.
Oh, okay.
Adding a camera to the iPod Classic, I don't know if that's necessary. I think you
keep the iPod
Classic around for what it is.
Adding a camera to the iPod Touch is a little silly.
You know...
No, that makes a whole lot of sense because of all the applications that take advantage of the camera. And it needs to be video as well.
Okay. You know, I was on the fence about whether or not the camera makes sense on the iPod Touch. And earlier today I recorded the Apple Context Machine with Brian Chafin and Bob Levitis came on. And we were talking about this and I was saying, you know, the camera... If you add that to the iPod Touch, then you lose some of that physical distinction between the Touch and the iPhone. And then Bob brought up the whole thing that, Adam, you just brought up about there's all the apps that can take advantage of that.
Right.
And
yeah,
and
I mean, they
that
need it.
Totally makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Developers. I mean, if they want to keep developers happy, and I mean, you have to have a certain amount of feature parity because it's sort of like it gets really not only for developers but also for consumers. It gets confusing. It's sort of like you go into the App Store now, even today, it's already getting confusing. It's like, okay, this works on the 3GS. This works on the 3. You know, it's sort of like they got in the same trouble with all the different iPod models, right? When they started having games, which is one of the reasons why I think games really never took off on the iPods. because it was sort of like you had to figure out, oh, which ones are the ones that support my iPod? And if you buy the wrong one, and then Apple's got to deal with customer service issues. So I think Apple has, again, going back to what I think ultimately at the end of the day, their motivation, as much as we don't like to admit it, is, you know, what's best business-wise. So I think, again, early on, they needed to have the distinction between the iPhone and the iPod Touch. I think it's not quite as important anymore these days, and I think it's more important that they have feature parity so they can sell more apps, so that the apps are more consistent experience across the different models. And I think also since the price points have come down on the iPhone, you know, it's sort of like the phone bit becomes enough to be the distinction that, you know, this one works as a phone. It's a little bit cheaper, but it's subsidized, so you're going to pay more in the long run. If you don't want the phone bits and you want all the same functionality, here's the iPod Touch. And I think that's enough.
You know, yeah, I think that you're totally going down the right track with this. Had we been having this discussion a year ago,
a totally different game. Yeah,
yeah, I would say you're completely wrong. But you're right. Enough has changed. There's been enough growth. And now we have way too many apps where people have to stop and try and figure out, wait, does this work with what I have? And yeah, and now we have the whole thing with, is it iPod Touch, first or second generation? And then when you get to the iPhone, is it video capable or not?
Okay.
Yep.
Now, okay, so do we want to speculate on what we're going to see at this event?
Do we need to?
All right.
So you want to run down the list? It's like all new iPods with cameras.
Really?
Video on the iPod Touch. Standard still cameras on the rest of them. What's the new album thingy, the code name for the new album thingy?
Yeah.
You know, the
Genesis. I don't know.
No, that's the torpedo.
Going to be there. Awesome.
That they shot.
Oh. What?
No, I was saying Genesis. That's the torpedo they shot into that planet that the Enterprise had to go to. Yeah.
Phil Collins is making a. He's closing the event. No, why can't I remember the name of that thing?
I keep wanting to say Klondike, but that's an ice cream bar.
You just really want ice cream as a thing.
I do. But, I really.
You know, so the new album thingy. You know, the new interactive album thing and an iTunes 9.
All right, so I'm
iTunes
going
cocktail.
To,
I'm cocktail. Definitely, oh, there you definitely go. Thinking iTunes 9. It's going to be totally Coco because I'm about that. And I think it's going to have a 64-bit version for Snow Leopard. And it's going to be totally rewritten. These are just not, you know, based on anything. This is just based on what I want. And right. Yeah. And the social networking features with iTunes 9. The was it Facebook and Last.fm?
Right. Now, I'm going to disagree with Adam just a little bit on the iPods. I think that we'll probably see a camera on the Touch. I don't think it's going to end up on any other models.
I agree with you, Jeff.
And when Adam's right, it's okay for you to gloat.
So what are they doing with all those camera sensors they bought?
They're going to make an ass load of iPods and or iPhones and iPod Touches.
Mm-hmm. Also something else. I forgot what I was going to say. But
okay, I'll tell you why I think they're going to do the camera thing. And mainly it's just my belief that they want to somehow cling on to the iPods just another season. And what other feature are they going to add to sell iPods? So you're thinking they really are ready now to just say it's the iPhone and the iPod Touch. And yeah, we have these other things, but we really don't care. They're cash cows and we really don't care. We're putting them out to pasture, basically.
No, I don't think it's an out to pasture thing. I have a feeling it's more about the high-end models that get the special features and the applications that can take advantage of those special hardware features. And then the other devices, which are designed to be music players. And by the way, you can watch video podcasts and movies and TV shows on a little screen.
See, my theory is that, you know, for all the people who don't want to pay for an iPod Touch and don't have an iPhone or maybe have a little burner phone or something like that, they can kind of go, look, here's some new iPods with 3-megapixel cameras. They're good enough for taking your quick snapshots when you're out and about. And we know you're already carrying your iPhone around anyway, or your iPod around anyway. So guess what? You don't have to carry around your point and shoot all the time. This is going to be good enough. And so it's tempting people to who already have an iPod, maybe an older iPod, to upgrade to a newer one so that they can kind of simplify the devices that they carry around.
You know,
I don't think it's going to be a huge seller, but that's kind of my theory why it made sense to me that they might add cameras to the other iPods.
That's a totally reasonable argument, which is why you may very well be right. But I'm going to stick with my theory, which is camera just on the iPhone and iPod Touch. But if it turns out that you're right, I won't be surprised at all.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move. Are we going to move on then?
Did we kill that?
I think we did.
Okay.
Oh, also, I think we're going to see MMS. Can I just say that? I think we're going to see them say, oh, by the way.
You know, I was thinking about that today, and I'm like, oh, man, you know what's going to happen? They're going to screw us, and they're going to go, oh, you know what? We're not going to have MMS till the end of the year. I got that feeling in my gut today, just like, because I think I was listening to macOS Ken on the way home, and basically AT&T was saying, you know, we have to upgrade our network, and which goes back to what you were talking about, Jeff, you know, them putting in new towers. I think they've been frantically trying to upgrade their network, and I think they're not ready, and I think we're going to be a big old disappointed on when is, I was going to look up actually when the official end of summer is. Is it like the 21st September, something like that? When is the official end of summer? Does anybody know?
It's right about that time.
Yeah. So I'm picturing the press release from AT&T already. It's like, we didn't make it. Sorry. It's going to be next year.
Yeah.
Next July. Let down.
I'm with you on that one, Michael. I think you are flat out wrong.
Okay. Yeah, I think so too.
I just feel it in my gut, and it makes me so sad and so angry at the same time.
Yeah.
We haven't seen any more, you know, updates to 3.1 beta lately. So, you know, maybe
my guess is 3.1 is going to roll out on the 9th along with whatever music announcements happen.
3.1 hasn't been updated in a while as far as the betas go, and the beta has been very slow and icky.
Well, you're probably also running a lot of debug code.
Mm-hmm.
And once you take that out, the performance should improve.
Maybe. Okay. So then that's that. I think so. We're not going to see anything regarding, well, just something. Do you think we'll hear anything about MMS?
No.
Nope. Nothing. Okay.
No, because it's not ready, and AT&T is not going to admit it till they absolutely have to.
Okay.
Right. And this is a music event. This is not an iPhone event.
This is true. Okay, so let's move on to our iPhone picks, shall we? Jeff, would you like to start off?
Sure. I'm going to go with the app that I was going to go with last week before I changed my mind at the last minute, and that's the NPR application. And it's very cool. Yes, I know some people are going to think, what, NPR? What? But anyhow, the deal is you can see news that NPR is running. You can listen to the NPR shows, and then for NPR affiliate stations that are currently streaming content, you can go and listen to shows as they're happening. It's a very slick, well-rounded application that gets you a ton of NPR related information in one nice little package.
Cool. And it's free. Yeah. It's called NPR News.
That's it.
By the NPR.
Yes.
Okay, Adam, what is your pick?
Well, since you're stealing mine.
No, you stole mine.
I'm going to go with something I found out about through the app that you're about to pick. So I won't give yours away, but called Light Writers, sticking with my trending, you know, back to the 80s theme of picking apps that relate back to the 80s. And it's basically Tron light cycles on your iPhone. That's it. I mean, if you've seen the movie, you know what it is. You know what I'm talking about. And
if you haven't seen the movie, put it on your Netflix list.
Yeah, exactly. It does have a multiplayer mode, which I haven't been able to play yet because I haven't found anybody that has one. But I think it does the whole peer-to-peer over Wi-Fi, head-to-head mode. But you pick your color light cycle and you race it around and you try and draw your walls and, you know, have the other guys crash into them.
99
Nothing
cents.
More than that. It's like, yeah, buck, and it's awesome. It looks awesome. What really got me about it is, and I'm surprised they don't get sued by Disney, but it looks just like straight out of the movie, pretty much. So if you've seen the movie, you've seen the app. Just grab it. It's awesome.
Looks cool. I've played Light Bike. Have you seen Light Bike?
Mm-mm.
Yes, I have. And the light excuse me, Light Riders looks better.
Yeah, it does.
Now, isn't Light Riders an open source game that's been available on desktop computers for a while, and they've just ported it to the iPhone?
Possibly. I played that open source one, yeah, and it seems very similar. I don't know. Again, I just found out about it through the app that Michael's about to recommend, because I think the developers co-worked together on the app.
Sure. Okay. So my pick is RampChamp from the Icon Factory, and it's really the just sexiest game I've seen in weeks for the iPhone. It's, you know, obviously it's from the Icon Factory, so it looks fantastic. Everything about it has just, every little itty bitty corner of the game is just polished and perfect. And it's basically the game is, you know, those old ramp games where you throw a ball up the ramp.
Ski ball.
Yeah. And you hit the target and, you know, you get tickets. And it's just done in the most fun little way you can think of. And you got 4 or 5. 1, 2, 3, yep. 4.
4 levels.
4 levels. You can go to the Icon Garden, Space, you know, Undersea, or the traditional clown kind of theme. And you can also add more. So as you progress through these, you get tickets. And as you get tickets, you can redeem prizes. You can buy, you can buy the little Twitterific bird if you want, or a rocket ship, or a light bike. And you can check out your little collection of stuff and even buy new ramps. And, okay, so, Adam, you were talking about how you were going to pick this app, but we've had some issues.
I heard about it because I saw an article somewhere and they said, you know, it, finally in-app purchase done right. And I was like, oh, cool, an app I want to check out, in-app purchase. This one looks really cool. It's from Icon Factory. They make awesome stuff. No brainer. I'm going to buy it. And, it was awesome. The only issue I've had with it is it's like super challenging. So what it is, to me, it's like a cross between skee ball and, target shooting, you know, like carnival target shooting. Cause you got to roll the balls up and hit these targets and they fall down and the new targets come up and then each level has challenges. So you can try and go for, you know, if you get the bronze challenge, you get a bronze trophy and you can get up to a gold trophy. And it's super hard. And so I was thinking, you know, like the in-app purchase thing, you can buy more levels, but I can't even get through the first 4 levels. So it's sort of like, I'm never going to buy another level because these are, so it's really fun and frustrating at the same time. So I've had,
so I wasn't even, I wasn't
way
even
too much time doing it.
I wasn't even aware of the goals.
Yeah. So if you click up in the little goals area up there, you can try and earn trophies.
That's cool. I like the Icon Garden.
Yeah, throw back to Aldo. Apple sold that. That was very sad.
That was kind of a sad day when that happened.
Where was it sold to? I'm going to go check that.
They
out.
Sold it on eBay or something like that.
No.
Different people bought the different icons. You know about the Icon Garden, right? Do you know what that was?
I know what it is, yeah.
Yeah, so Apple, it was on the Apple campus. Apple had these huge Apple icons that were just like big. I think they were metal sculptures, and they were there for years and years and years. And then Apple decided one day, we're going to get rid of the icon garden. And they just, you know, auctioned it off.
Steve doesn't like seeing pixels.
You know, had they all been anti-aliased, he probably would have been fine.
Probably. Anyway, Ramp Champ, it's $1.99 in the App Store. Check it out. It's a fun, fun game. You will very much enjoy this game. The controls are a little, you know, you really have to get used to it. It's very challenging. But for $1.99.
Yeah, it's hard to hit the middle tier, as I think that's the most challenging. It's sort of like the top is okay and the bottom is okay for me, but like to get the timing or the swipe gesture enough.
I think they're going to work on it. I really feel like they're going to put out an update.
I don't know. It's that it's their problem. It's just, you know, it's just like figuring out that that's the challenge, is you got to learn how to, you know, do the gesture.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And with that, I will say that iPhoneAlley.com is where you get more news, tips, and reviews every day. And if you have an iPhone tip, a cool tip to share with the world, you can let us know there and we'll post that. Or if you have a product or an app that you want reviewed, do that at the contact link on the side of the page. All of our iPhone picks and the show notes are at iPhoneAlley.com/podcast. And of course, you can send us podcast at iPhoneAlley.com. And Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer every single day.
Rain or shine.
Rain or shine, pants or no pants.
That's right. That's how I roll.
Mostly no pants. And twitter.com/jgamet.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being here as always. And Adam Christensen is at the MacCast, MacCast.com, and of course at twitter.com/MacCast. Thanks for being here, Adam.
Oh, yeah. It's fun. Thanks for letting me hang out again.
Of course. You're the, I think the listeners feel like you're our voice of reason. Amid, you know, among all the silly stuff that Jeff and I.
Wow, how does that work out?
I don't know.
It's a matter of perspective.
And my Twitter is twitter.com/MichaelJohnston, and iPhone Alley's Twitter, twitter.com/iPhoneAlley. And with that, another iPhone Alley podcast is in the can.
An iPod.
Internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus.